This meeting is now being recorded.
All right, thanks everybody. Starting as promptly as we can, close to 12:15, I think we have all the members back in the room. And this is now our public meeting of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. The recording has been started. Here comes Brandy in just a moment. Welcome all. We had a meeting this morning for educational purposes for our new committee members. They've all joined us in the room. We formally welcome them, but for the public calling in, Judges Nadler, Gabe, Jackson, Fannin, and Thompson have joined us, as well as CEOs Ms. Bartleson and Ms. Turner is not available today, but they're all present in the room. We thank you all and look very forward to your participation in what I think is an extremely interesting and effective advisory committee to the Judicial Council. Thanks for your participation, and put on your roller skates. It's going to be a ride, and it always is. So thank you very much. We have some important business to take care of this morning or this afternoon. As I've summarized our schedule today, while it's looking like this is a brief meeting, we've been working for hours this morning. There's another subcommittee that will be working for hours late into the afternoon. So our time with TICFAC is limited precisely today until 1:30. And so if at times it appears that I am moving the discussion along, I'm not trying to stifle discussion, but since we have a public posted agenda for a subcommittee starting at 1:30, it's critical that we complete our business by 1:30. So enough of that. I'm going to turn to Brandy now and ask Brandy to take roll.
Judge Conklin?
Present.
Ms. Fleming?
Present.
Judge Barton?
Here.
Judge Blum?
Here.
Judge Buckley?
Here.
Hope?
Here.
Judge Payne?
Here.
Judge Game?
Here.
Judge Jackson?
Judge Jackson was here for the earlier session. As presiding judge, she explained to me she had to get back to her court today.
Thank you. Judge Marginette?
Here.
Judge Nadler?
Here.
Judge McCabe?
Brian, have you called in? I'm sure he will as soon as he finds his vest.
And Judge Thompson?
Here.
Ms. Bartleson?
Here.
Ms. Carter?
Here.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Harrigan?
Here.
Mr. Planet?
Here.
Mr. Roddy?
Here.
Ms. Romero-Souls?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Ms. Turner? Couldn't make it today. Ms. Ugrin-Capobianco?
She is trying to connect right now.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Yamasaki?
Here.
And advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw?
Here.
And Mr. Theodorovich is here. All right, thank you.
And so I'll very quickly remind everybody, if you are a committee member calling in, please identify yourself as you speak. Please do not put us on hold at any time. If you want to mute it, obviously that's appropriate. We're turning now to the public comment portion of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, and my understanding is nobody signed up for public comment for TICFAC today. And I want to make sure we haven't left anybody out. We haven't. There's no written public comment received earlier. So we're going to move right to our discussion items. You all have the materials that were previously and timely posted for you. The first is the AB 1058 allocation recommendation. To present on that is Judge Cope, Anna Maves, and Leah Rose Goodwin. And perhaps, Judge Cope, if you could just, and you might have intended to do this anyways, but sort of give us a history of why we're here today.
Sure, and I'll try to be, well, I will be brief on it. With, on that part of it, First, let me say you said there was no public comment for today's meeting, and there isn't. But during the process for this AB 1058 subcommittee, joint subcommittee, there have been many, many public comments. And so what's going on is one of the parking lot items for when WAFM was formulated and adopted, a number of items were left that, for later decision, and they were called parking lot items. One of them, one of the bigger ones, was AB 1058 because it's a separate funding stream for child support commissioners and for family law facilitators. It has a lot of characteristics that are unique to AB 1058 funding, and so it was a little bit challenging. There are also issues with it, not only characteristics of it, but issues regarding who's interested in it and very, very strongly held opinions and feelings about the subject matter of child support funding and family law facilitators. So 3 years ago in 2015, Well, it's been on the parking lot list for longer than that. And 3 years ago in 2015, Judicial Council directed the establishment of a subcommittee consisting of members from the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, from the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee, and from the Workload Allocation Advisory Committee. And so at our meeting, at our final meeting, what's it been now, a month and a half ago, we reached conclusion regarding recommendations on some of those issues. Some of those issues we haven't arrived to recommendations because of ongoing issues. One of the challenges, actually one of the bigger challenges with the arriving at a recommendation was the lack of reliable data. Coming off of the WAFM process, I've always had strongly held feelings about opinions about this being workload allocated according to workload, and that was actually the instruction from the Judicial Council that the allocation be done according to workloads. And then the question was, how do you determine the workload? And so there wasn't a lot of reliable data. And so over the 3 years, there's been a lot of work done almost exclusively by staff to arrive at a criteria and collection methodology for reliable data. And we're getting pretty close to that, wouldn't you say, Leah?
I would. No, we definitely have made a lot of progress in that area. I think it's meant that on the data collection side, that we've made some changes in the judicial branch statistical information system on the types of matters that we are collecting. But overall, I think, yes, all the committees have given a little to make the process work, and that's been the contribution from workload assessment.
Yeah, and invaluable. And so really that's the background of it in a nutshell. Anna's going to explain the recommendation. There was an issue regarding some of the language and what was intended by some of the language. Sherry Carter brought it up, and it's an excellent point. My understanding was one thing, and it was left a little bit vague in the report. So what we'd like to propose is that language be tightened up going forward. And then what I'd be asking is, if that's acceptable to this committee with that tightened up language, that Ms. Carter is a member of WAC and Judge Thompson is a member of the family, FAMJUV, and their meetings are both on Monday. And that I would ask that you two take that language to those committees, and hopefully the three committees can arrive at a unanimous decision on the report to send forward to the Judicial Council. So we'll talk about that more. Is that fair, Sherry?
I think that's fine. The language that you want to tighten up?
Yeah, let's come back to the language, if that's okay, and I'll have Anna present the recommendation, and then we'll talk about the language. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right, then that's where we'll go, John.
Anna? Right. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. So just as a reminder, the Judicial Council receives these funds via a contract with the Department of Child Support Services. And so the funds are complicated in that the contract specifically identifies funds for the Child Support Commissioner portion of the program, the Family Law Facilitator Program, and then we have this other kind of weird category that we call federal drawdown funds. And these are so 66% of the funds come from the feds and 34% of the funds come from the state. And then when there was a budget cut in 2008, there developed this other category of funds called the federal drawdown funds, where trial courts were able to put in the state's share of the 34% and then draw down these federal funds. So when the Joint Subcommittee looked at the funding methodology and developing funding methodology, that's what they kind of did. They compartmentalized what to do with the Child Support Commissioners, what to do with the Family Law Facilitators, and then what to do with these other federal drawdown funds. Thank you so much to all the members that participate on the Joint Subcommittee. It's been a very long process. It's been a very deliberative process and a lot of extra work, and we really appreciate the consideration that you all have taken to come up with this recommendation. So essentially, the Joint Subcommittee looked at the same process that FMS used when it was reevaluating the WAFM methodology and met and talked about what guiding principles there were and making sure that when it came up with a recommendation that it was tied back to the guiding principles that had previously been identified. And these may have, may not have been the same ones that were identified with WAFM. As Judge Cope alluded to, these are specific funds to perform a specific purpose. They come to the council in a little bit of a different manner. So making sure that the guiding principles that were identified specifically to those funds. But essentially, because the council charged the joint subcommittee with coming up with a workload-based methodology, the ultimate recommendation from the joint subcommittee is based on the process and the numbers that come out of WAFM. It's looking at the same way and looking at the results. And so the table that's attached to the reports as attachment A would be if WAFM was implemented and applied to child support commissioners and the child support commissioner programming. There was some concern about this dramatic shifting of funds and what impact that would have on the program and the court's ability to meet the contractual requirements both to the council and then the council's ability to meet the contractual requirements to the state and the state's ability to meet the requirements of the federal program. So in order to make sure that there were protections in place, the decision was made that there would be no increase or decrease to any particular court in excess of 5%, and that the it would the implementation would be effective for fiscal year 1920, sorry, and then it would be every 2 years would be reviewed. So, and also in order to make sure that the smallest courts could continue to have a program, that any Cluster 1 courts or courts that had an interagency agreement. So a lot of courts have worked out a process where they've entered into agreement with sister courts to share services of a child support commissioner to provide services in that court, and the Joint Subcommittee didn't want to interfere with that process. These courts were able to meet their contractual requirements and meet the federal requirements, and so because there was insufficient information about what really a minimum funding level should be, there was a feel of a need to protect the Cluster 1 courts and any courts that had an existing agreement, and so they would not they would be held harmless from any reduction in funds. And so we understand that the language in the report is vague on then the continued implementation of the 5% shift. So there is language in the report and in the recommendation that there be a review of the impacts of the moving of the funds, and that FAMJUV would take on looking at what the minimum funding requirements would be for a court program, and that they would take back future funding recommendations to take back. But the report is vague as to what the Joint Subcommittee's intention was as to continuing implementation of this funding methodology. And so I think that's the area of concern, is what does TIC BAC want to recommend with regard to that language? Is, you know, does TIC BAC want to make a recommendation for some language that would either stop any further implementation for a two-year period, or clarify that the intention was that it continue to be implemented with a period with the opportunity to review the impacts of implementation, but continued implementation. So at page 7 of the report, I'll say first, the recommendation is silent as to that issue, but the report could be changed to include some language that could make clear as to what the recommendation is coming out. So if the trial court budget advisory committee was going to recommend that the 5% continue to be implemented and that it be continued to be reviewed based on the impacts, there was a suggestion that so the sentence I think starts with however. However, because this, and this is in the bottom paragraph, however, because this methodology would result in dramatic funding cuts or increases in most courts, which would impact the court's ability to provide the services required to meet the federal and state law contractual provisions allocate, or I'm sorry, associated with the funding, the attachment A, the subcommittee is also recommending that the initial reallocations cap the total amount. So
it's still on page 7 because I'm not finding it.
Yes, page 7. It's
of the report.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
16.
It's 16 of your materials. I'm sorry. It's page
7 of the report, 16. Got it.
I apologize. Thank you for the clarification.
No, I appreciate it. However, okay, got it.
So there was some suggestion that if the trial court budget advisory committee was going to make a recommendation that the allocation be a continued process, that after the word initial, there be language that says and ongoing.
And I would make that motion.
Or whatever other language is necessary to point out that this isn't intended to be a one-time reallocation, but an ongoing reallocation, right?
Yes, because that was my concern. And thank you so much for talking during the lunch break, because this is one of those areas, like so many others, that have inequity in funding because of historical reasons. And so I would, you know, I think we've all proven that we're patient to try to make these adjustments, and I certainly understand that we can't do it quickly because we need to ensure that the smaller courts, or that if there's any programs that we're going to have issues with. So I understand that, but we need to get to equity in funding. And this is another area where there's a lot of counties that have struggled with a lot of workload. And so I would be fine with that language, because I think that there should be a 5% reduction. I think it should be every year. But if your committee, Judge Cope, expressed concern about every year and you needed it to be every other, that's better than just a one-time 5% reduction, which I think is embarrassing. So I'd be open to
Well, if you look at the report, if you look, we did talk about it, but we didn't go over everything. If you look at it's page 2 of the report, page 11 of our materials, and then under the recommendation, item 5 says, direct the trial court budget advisory committee to consider continued reallocation of funds every 2 years, beginning with fiscal 2021-22, considering the recommendations of FAMJUV. And so does that language need to be changed, or is the language sufficient? Do you think the language is sufficient as it is, as long as we put on page 7 there, you know, specifically saying this is an ongoing reallocation? Not focusing on the 5%, that's just a cap. On ongoing reallocation of funding until it reaches equity, do you think any other language needs to be changed?
To consider continued reallocation. So it comes up every year for debate.
Every 2 years, yeah.
Every 2 years.
So go ahead, Judge Buckley. So right now, there are, you recommend that we adapt attachment A, but we don't move more than 5% up or down. So one could 5%. Up or down.
Right. The attachment A shows the implementation of the full implementation based on WAFM.
Attachment A, I'm sorry to interrupt, on page 24.
Right. And it's my understanding, too, that there also is no protection for the smallest court in that attachment A. So whether we would move fully to the adoption of attachment A, I think would be under consideration, because the recommendation is specifically that we come back and look at what the needs of the smallest courts are. And so I don't think probably the recommendation would ever be to move completely to attachment A, but that there would be some funding floor level for the smallest courts that could be adopted in the future.
But there's no outright commitment, or there's no recommendation that anything else happens after this year.
I think that's the there's
the
other work that's going to happen. So you're talking about specifically about the implementation of reallocation of funding shifts. Is that what you're saying?
Right, because, again, the word there is consider. There's no decision here other than courts will adjust no more than 5% up or down,
right.
Period. And then we come back and start considering. Keep in mind that this is last 5, 6 years in considering, and there's no commitment. And I just throw out that with full protection for small courts, whether there's a floor, whatever it might be, but that the recommendation of this committee be more ongoing, and that there is a commitment that the workload is in fact achieved. The workload allocation is achieved.
And I would say that the report doesn't do a good job. It's vague whether or not the intention of the recommendation from the Joint Subcommittee is the ongoing or if it's to stop after 2 years. I think the report itself is vague. I think that based on some conversations, that the understanding by the Joint Subcommittee was it was going to continue to move.
But the language in the eight recommend items is all either review or consider.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would recommend, make a motion, whatever you want, that on 5 it would say direct the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to continue reallocation of funds every 2 years, considering the recommendation of FAMJU. Because that way we're committed to continue to to get to equity in funding, which is our goal. And if FAMJU comes up with recommendations around small courts or anything else, it allows that to come forward to the TICBAC to consider as they're continuing to reallocate.
So just from a grammatical clarification, you're right. The considering language is duplicative in that statement. It says to consider considering.
Yes.
So you would propose it say
to continue reallocation.
The first consider, make mm-hmm. the second, make continued the word continue to uh-huh. continue reallocation of funds every 2 years, beginning with fiscal year 21-22, considering the recommendations of FAMJU.
Yep.
It's not my job, but is that the motion then?
I would make that motion.
I second that. This is Tanya.
So, and again, I'm just asking for clarification, but Sherry, you also talked about on page 7, which is page 16, adding the word and ongoing. That paragraph is not part of the, as I understand it, not part of the actual recommendation. So is your motion, Sherry, just the 8 recommendations on page 2?
I think if we clarified the recommendation that we just talked about, it's probably enough because that's what the committees are going to look at and the council will actually consider and either approve or amend.
Okay. And Tanya, did I hear you second that? Okay. So it's
yes,
been
sir.
Moved, it's been moved and seconded that the recommendations 1 through 8 as set forth on page 2, which is also page 11, with the change of the taking out the first consider, making continue, be approved by this committee. So that now opens it up to further discussion and presentation. I have to be careful to make sure we all understand the motion that's now pending. But Judge Cope, back to you.
Well, it's not back to me because I think that the language on page 7 should be clarified, should be cleaned up to take out that word initial. So that it's clear that the cap on reallocations, and any time when they're reallocated every 2 years, there's a 5% cap. And the idea behind that is it takes time to ramp up and ramp down to either hire new personnel or to not hire new personnel. So the cap is ongoing, but the reallocations are ongoing also.
Yes, I was going to suggest that be an item 9 rather than buried pages down in the report.
So, Judge Barton, what be item 9?
The 5% up or down cap would be captured within the now 8 and what would be 9 recommendations, rather than having to find it in the middle of a paragraph 4 pages farther down in the report.
I think that makes sense.
I do, too. I would second that motion.
But so I'm just trying to be real careful because staff now has to be able to put this into a formal motion. So are we cutting and pasting the paragraph on page 7?
With the corrections that Judge Cope just made to that language.
Judge Barton, may I make a friendly proposal to that? If you look at item number 2, funding changes are capped. If you add, it's line 3 on item number 2, funding changes are capped. If you say, just say at 5% right there.
Brilliant.
So we have a lot of things floating around. I'm just trying to be careful. So we have the motion that's been moved and seconded. We don't have a formal amendment to that, a request for a friendly amendment to that motion yet. Judge Barton has now referred us to page 7, line page 16. And then, as I understand it, Judge Thompson's taken us back and said, as an alternative to the suggestion for the friendly amendment, an alternative friendly amendment would just simply add and capped at 5%. And I think Sherry used the word brilliant, at 5%, and smaller courts continue to operate. So, Judge Barton, does that satisfy your concern?
Yes.
So the request for a friendly amendment is to add the words at 5% after are capped. Do you accept that, Ms. Carter?
I do. Yes, I do.
Tanya, do you accept? Do you then make your second to that friendly amendment?
Yes, I do.
And I know I'm sounding very, very precise, but I've learned that you have to. So now that's the pending motion, and it opens to discussion. Burns, go ahead.
Point of clarification. On number five, if we amend it, direct TICPAC to continue reallocation. Does TICPAC reallocate, or does the Judicial Council do that? Don't we just make recommendations to them?
Yeah.
Unless we got more authority than I realized.
So paragraph five, direct the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to...
Well, so this is the Council doing this, right?
Right.
Another way you've written it. This is, you're asking the Council to direct the TICPAC.
Yes.
So I think...
Okay.
Council direct the tick back to continue. So it's good. I think it's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says at the top at the
yes.
opening of that
yes.
line under
yes.
the Council.
So it's
yeah.
the Council
right.
directing tick back.
Us.
Okay.
Yeah. What fun. Okay.
So I guess one comment, and I think the changes that have been moved and seconded, they definitely reflect what I thought the recommendation from the subcommittee was. I can only speak for myself. Judge Thompson's on the committee. Judge Conklin, you were there. I think you were there, Rebecca, right?
Oh. This is Judge Thompson. I concur.
Right. Okay. Judge Buckley?
I think we should follow up a little bit more on Judge Blum's ideas. If, in fact, this is going to be the language adopted by the council, then five really should be that the reallocation of funds shall continue every 2 years, with consideration of the recommendations of FAMJU. Because, so I actually throw out a friendly amendment that the language of five is in fact changed as what I just said, that, the reallocation of funds, shall continue every 2 years, beginning with 2021, with consideration of the recommendations of the FAMJU Advisory Committee.
And that was my artful. You're right. We'd previously talked about just removing the first word, consider. So now it says direct, reading paragraph 5 in full, as I understand, is part of the motion. Direct the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to continue reallocation of funds every 2 years, beginning with fiscal year 21-22, considering the recommendations. Mm-hmm. Judge Buckley, is that what you're looking at me like?
Well, again, we cannot allocate anything. It's the council that would allocate. So the language that would – we're recommending the council adopt language that says it will continue to allocate this every 2 years. So directing or whatever should come out of it. It just say the reallocation of funds shall continue every 2 years.
Why is it the council directing us to do something?
Because what we want the council to do is every 2 years –
I see.
Reallocate with input from FAMJU as to whether 5% is too much, there's better protection needed for smaller courts. So, go ahead.
But you also want the language, and I understand your point, to make it ongoing. It's not trial court budget advisory doing it, but you do need trial court budget advisory in to consider the input of FAMJU and the like.
So this is not trying to create language. So it would be something along the line that actually there would be a reallocation of funds every 2 years, beginning 2021, considering the recommendations of TICPAC and FAMJU.
Right.
So I can sort of procedurally, every year we have to go to the council for allocation because only they can allocate. So when TICPAC sends its annual allocation report to the council, they can incorporate the comments of FAMJU in that report. So I think Judge Buckley's original proposal works because TICPAC doesn't need to be directed to bring allocations. They do every year, but they need to be directed to provide the input of FAMJU when they do.
Judge Conklin, can I clarify something?
Absolutely.
So the reason that the recommendation is in the report to begin with was because historically the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee has made all of the recommended allocations to the council for this program. So that was part of the clarification that the Joint Subcommittee wanted to make, that now it should come through the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee rather than the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee. So that's part of why that recommendation is there. It may look a little funky because it's a change in procedure there. So I guess that my recommendation would be similar to what was said before, is direct the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to make recommendations regarding reallocation with consideration of the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee, because it's the council directing the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to make the recommendations to the council for reallocation of these funds.
So as noted, TICBAC precisely does not itself reallocate. TICBAC makes recommendations to the Judicial Council to reallocate.
Correct.
And I think we all recognize that. We're just trying to formulate language that says that precisely. So, again, I'm trying to follow. Rather than have the words direct the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to consider continued allocations, direct the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to continue to make recommendations to the Judicial Council reallocating funds every 2 years.
Yes, that was right.
Okay.
That was it.
And if I may, Judge Conklin?
Isn't the reallocation then on the table again every time?
Yeah, see, that's what I think. If this committee wants a decision by the council that there is ongoing reallocation, we're not going to revisit this every 2 years. There's going to be, in fact, reallocation. Nothing in this recommendation says that.
Fair enough. So what should it say?
May I suggest, Judge Conklin, what about just having five begin with the words continue reallocation? Just cut out the first part. Because this is TICBAC's recommendation, or the Joint Subcommittee's recommendation to the Judicial Council, that is, the Judicial Council take the following action. Continue reallocation of funds every 2 years, et cetera, with consideration of TICBAC's and FAMJU's recommendation. Something like that.
Sorry. Chad, did you have your hand up?
I did, but I was going to suggest language very similar to what Judge Marginis just said, which is just start it with continue reallocating funds every 2 years, blah, 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 and then tack on at the end recommendations of the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee as presented to TICBAC.
Oh, I like that. I think that's...
Did you use the word brilliant again, Cherry?
Not quite as brilliant as it did, Chad, but you were on the way.
I will take that. Thank you.
No, I think that's good.
So I think we're back. We've come full circle, and we now, as I understand, five would read, continue reallocation of funds every 2 years, beginning with fiscal year 21-22, considering the recommendations of the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee as presented to TICBAC.
You good, Anna?
Yes, I think that means I think the thing that covers it, because the consideration was that FAMJU would take the recommendations to TICBAC, so not having them kind of come simultaneously but through TICBAC, I think that's great.
All right, and without trying to get too technical, unless I hear a comment from Sherry, who made the motion, and Tanya, who seconded it, I'm assuming it's been made and reseconded to that friendly amendment. Hearing none, that's the motion now pending before this subcommittee, advisory subcommittee. Any further discussion on the recommendations that set forth on page 2, recommendations 1 through 8? Hearing none.
May I
sorry, Judge Buckley.
I just want to make sure that at 5% is also
yes.
It's item
2
is modified.
Yes. Right. I'm sorry. And capped at 5%, and smaller courts can continue in paragraph 2. Thank you, Judge Buckley. Any further comment? All those in favor of the motion, as described, please say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Those were ayes, not oppositions. I should have waited. Any opposition? Any abstentions?
I saw Sherry raise her hand. I don't know if she was opposing it or what.
No, I had a clarification, but at the end, so I'll wait until you're done.
Okay, it's been moved, approved, and it is now accepted. Sherry?
So you had asked me, we do have a WAC meeting, I think, on
Monday.
Monday.
And I would really appreciate someone to, if you're asking me to present this to that committee, could someone send me the final language so that I will make sure that it's all consistent? Does that make sense, Judge?
It does. And Leah's staff for that committee.
And
your staff for FAMG.
Okay,
right?
Great.
So staff for both those committees are also here. So great.
And actually, there may be time. I know you need to get the materials out 3 days before the meeting. There may be time to actually present them with what we've done here today so it doesn't come, so it comes as part of the original agenda. Okay.
As an action item.
As an action item. Yeah, that's better.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much for that discussion. Moving
can
on.
Can I just ask? That's all right with you, Judge Johnson?
It is.
Okay, good.
Nope, we're good.
All right, so I've got to step back a little bit procedurally because in an effort to keep us on schedule, I skipped something, and that is the procedural aspect of the minutes that's set forth in your materials.
Move to approve.
So you're moving to approve the minutes of the July 31, August 7, and August 14 meetings. Is that the motion to approve?
Correct.
Any, a second?
Second.
And I'm going to short circuit this. Any opposition to the motion to approve the minutes as set forth? Hearing no opposition. The minutes as set forth in your materials at page 4, 7, and 8 for the meetings of July 31st, 7th, and 14th are approved. Adding an editorial comment, it is impressive to me that this committee met for 3 consecutive weeks in a row and accomplished important business. So nice work. Now, that being said, item 2 is the next action item. And that is something we have addressed throughout, but we are now have to take action on, and that's the $75 million in new funding. This is a consideration of how the new funding impacts WAFM. So by just a reminder, we talked about this earlier. We got in the 47.8. That was directed and went to the most underfunded course to bring them up. The next was the $75 million, and after some different actions and approaches, the $75 million was ultimately approved. And precisely of the $75 million, $60.6 million was approved as discretionary funding to be allocated pursuant to the methodology approved by the council. $3.6 million went to the Cluster 1 course to bring them 100%. 800,000 went to non-sheriff security. And $10 million went to court reporters and family law.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to now turn it over to Lucy to discuss the mechanics and precision of that.
So, I mean, at this point in time, this recommendation is entirely technical in nature. The only time it might have an impact on funding is come 2019-20 when we actually do the WAFM calculations. So this report came out because when we received direction from the council to allocate the $75 million, literally as we're putting the spreadsheet together, we went, oops, which column do we put it in, right? And we felt like it wasn't within staff's purview to make that determination, so we thought it safest to bring this to the tick back for consideration. I don't intend to take this onto the council. I think this can remain within the purview of tick back as it's really, it's not a policy, it's just technically how we apply these dollars as they relate to WAFM. So I'll briefly go over, and I actually sort of in the recommendation talked about the colors because Brandy has so beautifully made the chart so easy to understand. So the way we're looking at it is just high level, the $10 million that were provided for court reporters in family law, currently that work is not captured as part of the RAS model because court reporters in family law are not mandated and RAS only captures mandated. So the next step in that thought process is, therefore, the cost of that is not incorporated into WAFM. So we would say that those $10 million, to the extent they are dedicated to court reporters and family law, would not count against a court's WAFM need. So it wouldn't go in the yellow part of the chart to say, if you need $100, you had 90, but now you have 95 because you've got money for reporters and family law. You've still only got 90 compared to your 100. That 5 goes over here, right? However, if a court demonstrates that they are fully staffed for court reporters and family law, and those dollars thereby come discretionary, then they're free to spend on whatever they like. And as with all other discretionary dollars, we would say it counts in the yellow part of the chart and does count towards your WAFM need. As I said, that won't make any difference now at all. It'll only make a difference when we come to look at potentially new funding next year and look at where you are relative to your need. And to take it a bit further, it's going to be somewhat moot anyway, because WAC is going to be working on putting court reporters and family law into RAS. So ultimately, I would say that all these dollars are going to become part of WAFM, assuming that WAC takes that step to incorporate it. So I hope so I explained it. I don't know if you want any more information, but I think the report somewhat speaks for itself. Do you have any questions?
So for 18-19, this won't make a dime's worth of difference as far as the allocation.
It's just where we put it in the spreadsheet, yeah.
Questions about this? This is an action item, so if there's any questions, concerns about this, we'll be asking in just a moment to consider a recommendation as set forth at page 30 and 31 of your materials. Comments? Okay. Is there a motion as set forth at page to adopt the recommendation set forth at page 30 and 31 of the materials?
I move for
all right.
Adoption.
Moved to a second. Judge.
Second.
All right. And seconded. Any further discussion on the motion to approve the proposed action item at page 30 and 31 of the materials? Second was Judge Buckley. Okay. All in favor of the motion that's been moved and approved? Aye.
Aye.
Anybody on the phone? Still with us? Okay. We still have a quorum in place. So any opposition and any abstention? All right. So we'll show
and I voted for it, Judge. I just had a technical difficulty with my finger.
Thank you very much. That'll be the quote of the day.
Sorry, with all the right. Mute button, with the mute button.
Jocularity, jocularity, jocularity. Thank you very much. All right. That being moved and approved, we now move to discussion items. We're well within our schedule. These are informational items, and next is the workload-based allocation funding methodology WAFM adjustment report. Coming to us from the chairs of FMS, and that's Judge Buckley and Rebecca and Leah.
We'll defer to Leah, please.
Okay. I'm sorry. Tell me again.
So this is just to discuss the adjustment request process for WAFM.
Thank you. All right. Too many tabs open.
Yep,
thank
sorry.
You. No, that's all right. So we have, you know, often throughout the course of the year, I would say people have various thoughts or ideas about WAFM and ways to modify it. And I think this is the committee's attempt to channel all of these suggestions into a process so that it's not a matter of, you know, bending the ear of a member or going to a staff. There's actually a set way that to approach these issues and get them onto the agenda of the Funding Methodology Subcommittee. And so simply my role today is just to remind members that there is a process in place to do that, that there is a deadline in January to get a submission to us. And I think I just thought of this now, but there is an outline of the process, and we probably ought to make sure that if it's not on the TICBAC webpage for access, that we put it there because there are some certain points that we ask for in putting together a proposal that have to be met. So that was the extent of the item that we wanted to discuss, and I'll turn it out over to the members for any questions.
Comments? So I know you all know this, and some maybe I'm trying, I shouldn't be speaking too much, but this is different than the WAC, the work that goes yeah. into the material that goes into the ultimate WAFM calculation. This is a request from any court who's saying the WAFM formulation itself, not the numbers, but the formula itself should be changed or in any way approved. And so when we worked through the redesign of WAFM, one of the things that came to the attention was there's things that we didn't anticipate. And it comes up pretty often, and the court will say, hold on a minute, or didn't you realize this? And we didn't. And so we wanted to have a mechanism in place to where somebody could come in and say, now that it's in place, guess what's not working, or guess what perhaps could be more effective. And this is the mechanism to do that, but it also creates a very precise timetable. So to say to courts, we appreciate your input, but it's very important looking back in the timetable that we have to get this to the council, that we can't wait till the last minute to hear those recommendations. So there's a timetable that is presented. you present your request for suggestions, and it works its way through the process. And if that timetable is not satisfied, then the request has to wait until the next appropriate time period.
No, that's a really good point, and sometimes that is a source of confusion, that there are some issues that folks want to raise that actually are better directed to the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee. Sometimes we can head those off even before we get the request, but there is actually a step in the process that if the committee reviews or receives the item and finds out it's actually more on the building of the workload side, there is a separate process for that. This is solely about modifications to the funding portion of the model. Very good.
Any further questions, comments about that? Okay, I appreciate that. The next informational item is the Charcoal Trust Fund revenue backfill shortage update, and Donna is here?
On the phone.
On the phone.
Yes, hi, I'm on the line.
Great, Donna, it's all yours.
Awesome. Hello, committee members. I'm Donna Newman. I'm budget supervisor. At the April 3rd TICFAC meeting and subsequently at the May 24th Judicial Council meeting, Budget Services presented the potential of a $7 million revenue shortfall in the trial court trust fund. At that time, only 7 months of actual data had been received, and due to the continued decline in fee, fine, and forfeiture revenues that support trial court-based allocations, and the lack of an adjustment to the revenue backfill through the state budget process, the recommendation was to use the trial court trust fund balance to cover the shortfall. So, all 12 months of actual revenues for 2017-18 have now been reported. The revenue backfill provided through the state budget process was $55 million. The actual revenues that came in demonstrated a need of $46.5 million, leaving a surplus of $8.5 million, adding to the fund balance. I'd like to add that the backfill did include a $3.8 million shortfall for the civil assessment county maintenance of effort buyout. So that's my update. Does anyone have any questions?
Anything else? Sorry, I was stepping away doing other stuff. Any questions about that presentation concerning the... All right. Great. You guys really want to get this done by 1:30. Excellent. We're moving now to discussion item number 3, children's waiting room cap adjustments. Melissa, are you?
Yes,
I there you are. I'm sorry. Melissa has joined us. Thank you, Melissa. Can you introduce yourself to everybody?
Sure. I'm Melissa Ng. I'm a senior budget analyst in the Judicial Council Budget Services. Presenting on informational item 3, children's waiting room annual report. So the children's waiting room distribution and fund balance policy requires the courts to have council-approved fund balance cap adjustments to report annually. This is the first annual report on the 3 courts that have received the fund balance cap adjustments, and the purpose of the reporting is to ensure funds continue to be used appropriately. Just to give a little background, the Judicial Council revised the Children's Waiting Room policy back in June of 2015, placing a cap on the amount of the fund balance courts could accumulate. It's equal to the highest annual distribution within the 3 most recent fiscal years. And in March of 2017, the council revised the policy and extended the review of the adjustment for children's waiting room fund balances from an annual to a biennial schedule and required annual reporting for courts that retained excess funding. So the details of the courts that were required to submit an annual report are in the following attachments, 3B for Contra Costa, 3C, Orange, and 3D for Santa Barbara. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
So this is a discussion item, not an action item, but no more further action needs to be taken, right, Melissa?
No, this is just
okay. All right. Any discussion? Okay. Well, so much for my concern about not being able to be over by 1:30. But that does give us about 20 minutes of time. I tried to build in here a discussion, a general discussion, as we do at the conclusion of every meeting. Just to address matters of general concern of all of you, because I think those help us focus our next meetings. So it's an open forum. Recognize, however, remembering we are being recorded. Anything of general concern you folks think we should? We've had a discussion, and it was somewhat informal, but it'll now be formal. I will be in touch with some of you about forming a working group to present ways to deliver appropriate reports and messages about our activities to the council and outward from there.
We need at least a couple more volunteers. Barry?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I'm.
You have your page, I don't.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm going to volunteer Judge Gabe, too. She's going to be happy to help out with this. So she gets some coming from Fresno. So she's going
to
help.
Good. Happy to volunteer.
Great.
Okay. We need another. Come on, someone.
Chad.
Oh, Chad, thank you.
And Kev will do it.
Lucy.
Oh,
we talked informally, but I'll formally volunteer for that.
I thought I actually twisted your arm.
Excellent. Yeah. I think.
So we're not quite adjourned yet. Our next meeting, scheduled in-person meeting, is December 13th in Sacramento. There's going to be an FMS meeting that's going to develop some recommendations that might come back to us for polling at a November telephonic meeting that will be set. That depends on the work to be done this afternoon by FMS, which is a separate meeting from this meeting. So please pencil in generally December 13th in Sacramento. Candidly, there's a chance that we might be able to convert that to a telephonic meeting, depending on the work to be done, but I don't want any, if we need an in-person, we'll do an in-person, but I also know at that time of year, it's sometimes getting particularly difficult to break away even for a day, so we'll see how that works. Now's your chance. Anything else? I'm not trying to create problems that don't exist, but this is great. So as I understand it, FMS is going to start at 1 o'clock, 1:30. And where do they meet? 1:30 right here. So FMS members, thank you for that work. Don't leave your chairs. This flight will continue on to a different location, and you're booked on that flight. The rest of us are not. Safe travels back home, and thank you all once again.
Mm-hmm.
New members, welcome aboard. We look forward to having you. We're adjourned from the public session of the Telco Budget Advisory Committee. Thank you.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.